Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. We're going to jump back into, as you can see, our series on union with Christ is going a few more maybe than I thought, and we may have a few more yet, but I just thank God for each of them. They're so rich and so good, and the different translations that we're bringing you really help to bring home the idea that we are in union with God, which means something should change. Things should be different. You know, if I can lift a certain amount of weight, like weightlifting, and somebody else jumps inside of my body where now there's two people in me, you might still just look at me outwardly, but there's someone else in me, and they bring with them an extra 200 to 300 pounds of ability to lift weight. All of a sudden, I should be lifting more weight than I was before. Do you know if our life in Jesus Christ doesn't look any different than it did when we first accepted Christ, you got to wonder whether or not you really accepted Christ into your heart. I'm not trying to put doubt in your heart. I'm just saying, did you really mean it from your heart? Did you respond to the idea that I received Jesus? I want you to come in and change my life and change my heart. I am here for you to save me through and through. If there was something that was real in your heart that cried out to him, I'm telling you, there's a change in you, and you must be hanging around the wrong people if there's no outward change. What do you mean? Well, if you hang around duds, you may think that you're a dud. You know, you may be hanging around bullets that don't have any bullet in there. You know, it's just a blank. And if you're hanging around folks that don't have any testimony, that don't have any experiences with God, you'll just go through life thinking, well, what I did is I signed up to go to heaven, and there's a train gonna come, or a chariot that's gonna meet me when I die and take me into glory. Well, you know what? Signing up was just the very beginning. Now what is what you should be asking yourself? Now what, Lord? What now? Well, what's next? Well, it's experiencing the person that you met every single day and walking with him and talking with him. This isn't religion. You didn't sign up for religion. You experienced a person remaking you and bringing alive every spiritual sensory organ so that you can hear him perfectly, see him and feel him and smell and touch and taste of him. Where you're experiencing God. You know, David had experiences out there as the shepherd boy, strumming on his harp, doing his farm work and ranch work out there in the fields. And at nighttime, the Spirit of God would come upon him, and he'd write things and sing things and play things that he didn't know and hadn't even thought of. And then he couldn't go to sleep all night long. And he would share multiple times how your words are sweeter than the honeycomb. I stay awake at night thinking about and meditating on your word. Well, he wasn't talking about, you know, one of his backpacks with a whole bunch of scrolls in there that he was going through all the law and trying to study the law. He was talking about the fresh experiences with the person God who would come and meet with him and spend time with him. And this is a man under the law. This is a man under the old covenant who wasn't even born again. How much more you as a believer, you invite Jesus to come in, and he literally comes in and saturates your being with himself. We should be hearing him constantly, walking with him constantly, and paying attention to him constantly. And if you're hanging around a bunch of duds or blanks, maybe that's why you think you've got a blank, but you don't. He's in there. Pay attention to him. Let him out. Let him vent his life through your voice, through your ears, through your eyes, through your imagination, your thoughts, and your hands. So you can experience what it's like to walk with God, to live with Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, was the great mystery of the church. If it was so great and now it's been revealed, we ought to see the evidence of it. Well, I already started preaching 4 minutes into this already. And, you know, I haven't even shared with you, as you know, but there may be some newcomers here. So I'll share with you. We're endeavoring to help you, as you've heard, to begin to let God come out of, so to speak, the lamp where the genie is. I mean, rub it, for crying out loud. Let him out. Let him become a part of your life. Don't just lock him up in the Bible. You can learn all kinds of things about him from reading the scriptures. Of course you can. And the Holy Ghost will reveal things into your heart that will become revelation to your spirit and to your mind. But all of that is for what? A demonstration and manifestation. I talked to one guy one time that was trying to convince me that, you know, his ministry gift didn't have to produce results, that my ministry gift produced results. That's because I was a specific gift of which whom those results followed, and his wasn't. And I just rolled my eyes and said, you know, the truth of the matter is, you receive revelation when you teach, don't you? Yes, and when you study, yes. I receive revelation when I study and when I teach. I said, the only difference between you and me is I do something with the revelation and you don't. And this individual just lowered his head and he got real sad and said, yeah, you know, you're right. In other words, what I was trying to get across is when God reveals something to your heart, it's for the purpose of you experiencing it. You don't get revelation from Scripture so you become some hothead with all kinds of information and you can be on the debate team and win all your debates, but you can't produce any results. Folks, everything about life is not about how many results I have. I've got more results than you. It's not a competition. It is to what degree do you want God to actually live in your life? And I'm assuming that you want him to live in your life a whole lot more than you've experienced up to this particular day. You've been around duds. You've been around blanks. You've been around people like that individual that'll teach you that just get revelation and get knowledge, but don't have the experience of it. If you're walking with somebody or listening to somebody that can't get experience out of the revelation, you'll end up becoming a byproduct of it. It's called the law of Genesis. You reproduce after your own kind. So try listening to people that produce results. It'll change you. Why? Because in their production of results, there is a revelation that will get off on you of you actually believing that you'll get a result too. Those that don't get results and just teach, just like the world said. Those that can do, those that can't teach. Am I bagging on teachers? No, I'm trying to tell you, there's a difference between a godly teacher and one that's just of the world, using the Bible. You say, are that mean they're not born again? No, they may be very well born again, but they're just teaching like the world would, information. And every once in a while, there'll be a little bit of revelation, but they don't understand that their position as a teacher is anointed by a gifting that's given to them to not only make plain what is being taught, but also to show and share the experience of why it works in their life and will work in those that hear them. Well, I guess I'm off on a little tangent right now. No sense pulling back. You know, these are my videos. I can say whatever I want. And if someone doesn't like it, that's fine. But I really feel like the majority of you will actually enjoy what you're hearing right now because you've been around too much of this in the past 40 years. Teaching centers with people just teaching and no demonstration. What does it inherently share to the listeners? That it's more important to get information than it is to have a demonstration of the information. Say what you want, but it's true. People will join in more by what they see demonstrated than by just what they hear. You know the statistics. You know, people will regurgitate what they hear in a very, very small percentage. They'll regurgitate what they hear and what they see in a much greater percentage. They will regurgitate what they hear, what they see, and what they are led to do themselves in a extremely high percentage. All right, I'm not going to forsake our scripture that we always give. It's in Matthew 11. I'll just have to go real quickly here with some thoughts. Matthew 11, chapter 11, verses 27 to 30 in the Message Bible. It says, now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. Notice he has a lot of things to do and say. So do we. The Father wants to talk to you and give you things to do and say. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. And so what does that mean if Jesus is saying, you can have the same relationship to me and I hear my Father and he's got a lot of things for me to do and say. That means he's speaking to you and he's showing you things. And he went on to say, no one knows the Son like the Father, nor the Father like the Son. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Well, there's your blank, and there's your duds. Your duds and your blanks that we were talking about. You get around somebody full of religion, you'll get tired, worn out, and burned out. Why? Because it's all about you doing to try to meet some particular status quo, when Jesus, thank God, busted through the status quo and gave us his A plus on the test, and his benefits, his power, his ability, even the mind of Christ to think just like him. Well, it goes on to say, Jesus went on to say, you know, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Isn't it interesting? He said, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Come to me, get away with me, you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Look, all four of those talk about you having time with an individual. And just because he's a spiritual being doesn't mean you can't see, you can't hear, you can't walk with that spiritual being. Why? Because so are you. You've just been clothed in flesh, and you become so used to your flesh and how it reacts to the world that you've forsaken the greatest part of you, which is your spirit, and how it reacts to Jesus Christ. He went on to say, walk with me, work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Man, I'm telling you what, I'm just buzzing right now. Almost want to just get up, praise the Lord, and just do a little hallelujah and praise the Lord and dance around the room. Amen. I know you see that I'm not sitting down anymore because I had to just lift up my hands up in the air and praise the Lord for a moment, and so should you. This is inspired today. Not that it's not other days, but you can tell there's a difference on this. There's an edge on this because the Holy Ghost is cutting some things off of you and helping you to become very simple in heart so that you can see and hear and know. This is the place of a believer. Don't let somebody rob that from you. Don't let somebody take from you the tangibility of God. Does it mean if you don't feel him that he's not real? Of course not. But don't you see how this works? It's what we believe about him that translates into our experiences. Like somebody said last night, I just don't hear him. I've really been wanting to hear his voice forever. I said, well, when are you going to do it? When are you going to hear him? I said, you hear him when you believe you hear him. What do you mean? If you're twiddling your thumbs waiting to hear him as evidence to the fact that I hear God, forget about it. But if you believe that you hear him because you are his sheep, and he said, my sheep hear me. Praise the Lord. He didn't say my sheep someday are going to hear me. He said my sheep might hear me. It's possible, not probable. There's a lot of variables. No, he was right to the heart, cut right to the chase with absoluteness. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. So what is your response? I am the sheep of God. I am his sheep. He is my shepherd, and I hear his voice. You begin to say it. You believe that in your heart, and you will begin to hear his voice. Your faith brings about realities, and your faith is in response to him. And that's what we're doing. We're going at it backwards. Relationships with God were always supposed to start this way. And for people that didn't get saved in a church building, and of course that obviously has to do with which church building, so it doesn't mean all of them. But a person that doesn't get saved in a church building around all the duds and blanks that have been saved for 100 years, that have marked their seat because they feel like they've paid for it being there forever. And they're the spiritual leaders of the church going through the greatest drama in the church, not hearing God's voice, not following the presence of the Lord, saying all their faith confessions, getting nowhere, and rather getting worse very fast. If you get saved in that kind of atmosphere, you'll think that's normal just because of the crowd control, because the group thing. You better go along with the group. You know, there's only two of us that actually don't think this is right. So, you know, with 500 thinking that it's right, I guess we must be wrong. Maybe you're right. Maybe rebelling against that kind of Christianity is the reason why grace will actually work with you. Haven't even got to a scripture, and we're 14 minutes into this, and I've only got a couple minutes left. Is this helping somebody? Oh, Brother Jim, you know, I'm going to tell my pastor, you're talking about churches. You can tell him anything you want to. Am I talking about churches? Do you know it would be a foolish thing in the world to put down the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know why? Because it's the people. It's not the building. What I'm saying is there's better gas stations to go to than some gas stations. There's better buildings to go to that are preaching the gospel than other buildings. There's a lot of buildings that don't even really preach the gospel, that call themselves Christians, and the people don't even get a chance to come and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the majority of the people are going to hell because they've never accepted him as their Lord. And they're in a building that's supposed to be a Christian building and a Christian denomination. Do you know how wrong that is? Now, if you're going somewhere that's helping you to experience God like this and to think in the way that I'm talking to you about this, well, what makes you so right? Well, that's, I guess, where you have to decide. If you were to listen to what I'm saying and it's starting to work for you and you're beginning to see God in your life and experience his voice and the tangibleness of his spirit and having greater experiences with God than you've ever had before and beginning to recognize simple little things that you've overlooked before, and now that's causing such a cohesion between you and God and your relationship to become more real than it's ever been, I guess maybe you should just look at that and say, well, maybe what I'm sharing has to be a little bit more on the right track because it's getting me to God than where I was that wasn't getting me to God, even though I learned a lot about him. The last thing in the world that I'm trying to do as a minister is be right. And you say, what do you mean by that? I've always said that to the Lord because he'll show me things that are different from what other people are sharing or from what the majority is doing. And I always say, Lord, I'm not trying to be right here. In other words, it's no feather in my cap if what I share that seems different today, tomorrow becomes the norm of what's being shared. There's no feather in my cap. I am not looking for that. I didn't call me to do this, and I didn't make me see like I see. He did. So with accuracy that comes from just a humble place of wanting to do the Lord's work, I believe if you'll look at what we're sharing, there's more truth to it, and there's even more common sense. I mean, there's enough horse sense in this to actually get a hold of God. I think you'll be able to rightly divide between the two. Well, my time's gone. I didn't even get into a verse of scripture. I trust you won't mind that I'm actually going to post this because I think people need to hear this little bite and this little bit of edginess because I believe it was the Lord. I did not intend to say any of these things. And I'll just share grace stories that are so simple that you would think there's nothing at all to this. I mean, as simple as walking into a store, asking the right person this morning about what I needed, and right in front of me, instead of paying $25 or $22 for some wood, I was able to get a 70% off, pay $6.50, and have it all cut up and didn't even have to pay for the cutting. And the lady helped me even at the counter to check it out, and it was perfectly right. And I've come home with exactly what I needed, and it could have been a whole lot more. It could have taken me a whole lot more time. You say, well, that's just like the coincidence of shopping at the right time. Maybe that's what it is for you, but because I'm asking the guys, what do you mean the guys? God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost. I'm asking the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who I am in relationship with. I'm asking them to be a part of everything I do, and I'm endeavoring with all my day to be conscious of the fact that they're actually there while I'm even busy doing other things. When I see things work out so well like that, to me, it's not a coincidence. It's just grace. Would you let it be grace? Would you let it be grace? I'm going to tell you a story the next time I get together with you that'll actually work with the idea, would you just let it be grace? You can go to our YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace, and subscribe. And of course, invite people to come. Maybe this is one that'll test whether they really want to watch another one. You can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us, but for sure, go to jhmi@jimhockaday.com, which is our email that you'll find on our website, and send us your grace stories. Until next time, God bless you.